We want to welcome you to this Boone's Mill Church worship service this morning. We welcome our church family, those that are in the sanctuary. We ask you to wear a mask while you're here in this place. We welcome those that are out in the Sunday school rooms. And you can certainly, if you have medical reasons, other reasons, can't wear a mask, we invite you to come to one of the Sunday school rooms and you can hear the service over the audio. Also, we want to welcome those that are in the cars outside. We certainly say a welcome to those that are with us participating in that way as well. You know, it's 4 weeks till Christmas. Glad that you're here to join us on this first Sunday of Advent as we are approaching the celebration of Christmas, and we're just so glad that you could come out and join us in this time of worship today. You know, Advent is a season that is set aside for waiting, for watching, for longing, for looking for something to come, looking for the Messiah to come. And for many of us here in this year 2020, it has felt like one long wait, one long groan as we've been waiting for something to happen, something to change, something to be different. Between the pandemic and a struggling economy and the isolation of quarantine and online schools and civil unrest and racial injustice and wildfires and hurricanes and a noisy election and division and public trust and discourse, this year has reminded us again and again of our mortality, of our lack of control, of our collective brokenness. And as 2020 comes to a close, we long, and perhaps like never before, we long for hope and for love and for joy and for peace. In other words, 2020 has primed us for the longing for and waiting for the coming of Advent. And so we're glad that you're here to worship with us today. I'm starting a new series of messages today. The series is titled Christmas Long Ago. And it's a first-person narration, or better, a drama in which I will be in costume. And the message today is A Reason for Hope. And it's about the prophet or the priest, Zechariah. Now, you may hear some pauses in the audio, which is because the acting has those elements rather than the vocal. I pray that God will bless you as you hear this message today.
Shalom. Shalom. I'm so sorry that I was late. I've been very busy. Shalom. 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 I want to tell you a story. An incredible story. A story that's hard to believe. You know, I lived at a time when people were down and out. People were without much hope. I lived at a time when people were out of work, they were hungry, they couldn't afford food, there were so many people that were ill and they were dying, and people had trouble providing housing and for their families, and it was a dark time, an uncertain time. And God, however, God promised that He would take His people And he was going to take care of them, and that he would send a guiding light to them, a light that would shine in the darkness. In other words, God said he was going to provide hope for his people. You see, people need hope. Do you? Is there anyone here this morning that needs hope for what you're going through? Oh, excuse me. Let me introduce myself. My name is Zechariah, and I am a priest from the hill country of Judea. My wife, Elizabeth, she's the daughter also of a priest. And so I am doubly blessed to tell you my story, tell you our story. And it's much more than just a story. You see, there are far too many priests for all practical purposes in Judea. I have been told that we number about 200,000 of us. And we're divided up into 24 sections, and I serve in the 8th section of Abijah. Only during the Feast of Passover and Pentecost and the Tabernacles, only then do all the priests gather together at one time and serve in the temple. The rest of the year, each one of us serve in the temple only twice, and for 1 week at a time. And this time of service, when a priest can go into the holy temple of God and serve in that manner, this is the highlight of our lives. We long for that. We priests look forward to that privilege and that blessing to serve that way. And with so many of us, the duties, though, they are assigned by lot. Do you know what a lot is? You know, that's when you take a particular number of sticks, all the same length, except for one stick, and it is shorter than the others, and then there is someone privileged to carry the sticks, and you can't tell which one is the short one, but whoever draws the short stick, that lot is the one that will have the opportunity and privilege to do the work. You see, every morning and every evening, we priests have to make sacrifices to the whole nation, for the whole nation. We make sacrifices because God says, if you sin, you will surely die. Have you ever sinned? You know that God says if you sinned, you're separated from God and that you will die. And if you die apart from Him without that sacrifice, there is no hope for you. God gave the sacrifice, however, as a substitute for your sin and for your death and for mine. Before the sacrifice is made of the male lamb, one of the most important things that can happen is that we take before the altar and we take incense and we burn that upon the altar so that we can approach the sacrifice of God. And to light the incense is truly a one-in-a-lifetime experience. What we're doing, we are lighting before God the giving of forgiveness for sin. Many of my brothers have never had that chance to light the incense. Many never will. It's just too many of us. But on the day of my story, when it began, I drew the lot. And I was given the privilege to burn the incense before the sacrifice. That was the greatest honor of my life at the time. And the moment that I had longed for and dreamed of. You know, only one thing darkened my life at the time. My wife and I were childless. And for years, Elizabeth and I had tried to have children. And we weren't able to do so. Do any of you have children? It is a blessing. We weren't able to do so. And in my culture, many believe that if you do not have children, if you're barren, that's a sign that God has disfavor on you. That is a reproach of God. It's a sign that God is angry with you. Have you ever had God angry with you about the way you live? About the way you are? You know, Elizabeth, in our hearts, we didn't know what had we done. We tried to live good lives. Elizabeth and I both loved God. And we loved God with every ounce of our being. And we served Him. We served Him every day, and we lived to serve Him. Do you love God? Do you serve Him every day? For some reason, in God's sovereign wisdom, He did not see fit to allow us to have a child. With only this one thing missing in my life, I entered the sanctuary to perform my assigned task. And another priest had already come in earlier, before I did, to put live coals on the golden altar. And I followed and I sprinkled frankincense upon the coals so that the offering would be wrapped in an envelope of sweet-smelling incense. And then, I bowed before the altar, and I put my face down toward the ground in prayer for my people. That's what we were told to do. But suddenly, I realized that I was not alone. And this cannot be, I thought, because the law forbids anyone but myself to be in the sanctuary at this holy moment. And I was about ready to protest when I looked up and I saw this most incredible creature. And it was standing next to the altar of incense. And I cannot describe the creature. It filled my heart with awe and fear and terror. And he said to me, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. And that your wife Elizabeth, she's going to have a son. And you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord." John. Maybe you've heard of John. Most people know him as John the Baptist. That was my son. The Lord said he will never is to take on wine or be filled with anything of ferment, because he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. And many people will he bring back to the Lord. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of those that are disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This was too much. I could not believe it. I could barely make sense of all of this that was taking place. He had just given me the promise that was more powerful, so magnificent. It was just hard to believe that I, at my age, were going to have a son. Have you ever not believed God when he promised he was going to do something for you? I was to have a son. The one void in my personal life was going to finally be fulfilled. And not only that, my son was going to be used by God to bring people of Israel back to the Lord. And to my great shame, I couldn't believe this to be true. And so I told the creature, I said, how can this happen? How can this be true? My wife and I, we're far too old. And there was this rebuke in the sound of his voice as he answered me. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and God has sent me to speak to you and to tell you this promise, this truth, to tell you this good news. And now, because you don't believe me, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at its proper time. And suddenly I couldn't speak. Just as the angel told me would happen. I walked out of the sanctuary with my face all anxious as the crowd looked at me, and I was inside far longer than normal, the priest who put incense on the altar, and as I gestured wildly, they realized that something had happened to me. They realized I had seen a vision of the Lord while I was in the temple. I had received a message from God. And so I continued to serve that week while I was there, but after I was through, I returned home to Elizabeth, and she conceived our child. And she became so thrilled and hopeful with joy what God was doing for us. And at last, the reproach of her barrenness was lifted, and finally, she felt like a complete woman now. And all the shame she had felt all these years were taken away. 9 months later, our little boy came into the world. And everyone was so excited for us, and they even sought to help us name the baby. And after such a long wait for his arrival, they just assumed that I was going to name my boy after me. But Elizabeth knew about the vision that I had in the temple. And many, as they were thinking about that, she told these friends who were anxious that the baby would be named John. You know, that's such a fitting name. It means God is gracious. That's what the name John means. And when they came to me in frustration to ask me, what are you going to name your son? I took a pad and I wrote upon it. And I showed it to him. And it said, his name is John. And at that moment, my lips were freed. And I could speak again. And at that very moment, I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, filled throughout my being. And I burst forth into a glorious word of praise and prophecy. You can read about it in your Bible. That prophecy has been recorded through all the thousands of years, and it's still there. This is what it said. It says, praise be to the Lord. Because he has come to his people. God has come to his people to redeem them. God has come to his people to bring salvation for you. As he said he would long ago. He said he would come to enable us to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And he said, John, your child, he will go before the Lord to prepare for him the way, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender love and mercy of God, he has sent his Son to shine on those in darkness, to guide their feet to the path of light and peace. Do you understand what we're waiting for? This is our hope. The child born at Christmas. His name is Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Have you let him save you? That is why God sent him. Don't leave today without letting him save you and bless you. Pray with me. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, ever faithful to your promises, O God, you bring light out of darkness, and you bring hope out of despair. Oh God, you are our hope. Would you touch the hearts of your people today? And may you touch us with the promise of the Savior who has come into the world to save those who are lost. Oh God, prepare our hearts as we go through this Advent season. Remove the sadness and the uncertainty that hinders us from receiving the hope which Jesus bestows upon us. For Jesus is Lord forever and ever. And let us surrender our hearts anew to him today. And we pray this in his name. Amen.